This morning is Easter Sunday, big Sunday in the religious world. And many churches have a big Easter celebration, and they have a big special sermon for Easter. Well, I have a special sermon for Easter too, but a little different from what most might have. Because I want us, instead of just taking for granted that this Sunday is somehow more special than all the rest of the Sundays in the year, I want us to examine ourselves. I want us to look inward a little bit. And so this morning we have three questions to ask yourself. Now the fact of the matter is, we have the same question to ask ourselves three different times in three different ways in order to get some different answers. Perhaps you've heard, in fact I'd be surprised for anybody over five that hasn't heard, the old joke, why did the chicken cross the road? Now there have through the years been so many different answers to that little joke that I wouldn't want to try to give all of them. Some of the most common, probably perhaps the most common, is to get to the other side. But one of the more recent answers to that question has been to get away from Colonel Sanders, which is a valid reason for crossing the road. There have been other answers, perhaps, to that question. But the question in itself really isn't that important. I've never actually seen a chicken that did cross the road. But if one did, people, by their nature, are curious, and they want to know why. Why do things do the things they do? Why do things work the way they work? How does it work, and why does it work that way? And that's why science has become such a major field of study in our world, because everybody wants to know why. They want to know why there aren't any dinosaurs anymore. They want to know why people can talk and monkeys can't. And they want to know, I mean, there's so many things. They want to know why. Why is it we breathe the air and the fish have to breathe in the water? And why is that? And they want to know why. You see, the question of why has troubled men since the beginning. Don't you think Adam and Eve wondered why God said, don't eat of that fruit of that tree, when it was okay for them to eat all the rest? God didn't tell them why. You notice that? God didn't say, don't eat of that because, you know, it's a fruit that's going to do this to you or that to you, or it's poisonous. What he did say is, if you eat of it, and the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That ought to have been good enough reason. But they still wondered, why? Well, the devil, through the form of the serpent, gave them a why that intrigued Eve to no end. Because his why was, the reason God doesn't want you to eat that is because he knows if you eat it, you'll be like him. And God doesn't want you to be like him. He's selfish, in other words. God doesn't want you to have what he has. And that intrigued Eve. And she also saw that it looked pretty, it was pleasing to the eye, and looked like something good to eat. And when she thought, oh, it made me wise like God, that was the final straw. She then wanted some of that fruit, and she got some. What she found out was that with that wisdom, the knowledge of good and evil, there's a reason God called that tree the knowledge of good and evil. With that wisdom came guilt and shame, and because of her desire to eat it, came sin into the world. And then Adam ate as well, and both of the people then alive on the earth had become guilty of sin. Why did they do that? See, there again, we're why? Oh, you had a good thing going. Why'd you do that? But you know, any and every one of us in that same situation would have done the same thing at some point. Oh, maybe we'd have held out a little longer than Eve, or maybe we'd have given in quicker. Maybe the serpent wouldn't have needed to tempt us. Some of us would have just said, God said don't do that, but I want that fruit on that tree, and I'm going to go get it. Some of us would have done that. The question of why, though. Why was Cain's offer to God, the offering that he made, why was it refused and Abel's was accepted? Cain wondered that. He didn't think it was fair. He thought his was just as good and should have been accepted just as much. But from that time on, people have wanted to know why. God gives us some answers, but not every answer. He only gives us the answers that we need. Just like He didn't tell Adam and Eve everything about that tree. All He told them was what they needed to know, that that tree would bring about their death if they ate it. So let's begin with the first question. The first question that we have to ask is, why are you here? Why? Why are people here on this planet? Why did God create us? Of course, the evolutionist claims not to believe in God, doesn't believe God created us, believes we evolved. But if that's the case, then that's an even bigger why. Why would we evolve? That doesn't make any sense even to think that we would have. But why are we here? That's one question that God doesn't answer. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 that was read for us just a few moments ago. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why are we here? We're here for one reason and one reason only, to fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. We're here to bring glory to God. We're not here for any other reason. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not here for any other reason. It just means that's the reason God put us here. We may have any number of reasons for being here. Micah 6:8 also says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. One of the greatest men that ever lived, about all that we know about that man, is that it said that he walked with God. And because he walked with God, he didn't have to die. He didn't face death. God translated him directly to the spiritual world. He never had to face death because he walked with God. And God says, that's what I require of you. You walk humbly with me. You do justly, and you love mercy. The Pharisees had missed that one, hadn't they? They didn't have a merciful bone in their bodies. And if we're not careful, we may become like them and judge and condemn everybody for everything that we ourselves are just as guilty of as they are. That's not to say that we can never show anyone that they're wrong in something, because the first thing that is said there in Micah 6:8, the first of those three things that's required is to do justly. Well, justly implies that there is a distinction between right and wrong, good and evil, that some things are just and some things are unjust, and there has to be that distinction drawn. But we need to love mercy. That's why Jesus, when the woman who was caught in adultery was brought to Him, that's why He didn't pick up stones to throw at her. He was the only one there who had a right to, but He didn't. He showed mercy. So when we examine the question of why we are here, why are you here? It's quite simple. God created each and every one of us to serve Him. Now, we may not like that. We may not think that's what we want to do with our life. Most people don't. But the fact of the matter is, that's why God put us here. And that's the basis upon which He's going to judge us. Notice what Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's going to be a judgment, and God's going to judge us based on whether we feared Him and kept His commandments or not. Now, that goes contrary to some of the things that are taught. Some people will say, well, you know, if you just call on Jesus, call on the Lord Jesus, that's all you need to do. Jesus said, many who say unto me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. This isn't just an Old Testament idea that here in Ecclesiastes. Jesus said as much as well. You've got to do the will of the Father if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. So we've answered then the question, and you can try to debate it all you want, but the fact of the matter is, why are we here? To do God's will. That's it. Now, let's ask the second question. Why are you here? And we know why God put you here. We're not trying to ascertain that. We already answered that in the first question. But this is, what purpose do you have for your life? Is your goal in life the same as God's goal for you in your life? Or do you have some other plan for yourself? Maybe you want to get rich. Maybe that's your goal in life. That's my plan in life. I'm get rich. Retire early, maybe, some folks may say. Maybe you want to be popular. Or maybe famous. I'm going to get famous. Everybody will know me. And then, even after I die, people will remember me. Because I was so famous. Maybe you just want to party hard all your life. If it feels good, do it. You've heard that saying before. If it feels good, do it. You just want to fulfill the physical pleasures of life and get the most out of them that you can before you die, either from an overdose of drugs or some sexually transmitted disease or whatever else it might be that kills you, drunk driving and crashing into something, whatever it is. Maybe you just want to get as much physical pleasure out of life as you can before you destroy yourself. Maybe, on the other hand, you think, my goal in life is to provide for my family and to raise my family, to see my children raised up to adulthood, to get to see my grandchildren. We got some grandchildren here today that I know their grandparents are awful proud of them. You know, maybe that's your whole goal in life. And once you got that done, you think, I'm done. I've done everything I wanted to do. That was my goal. I've accomplished it. Maybe you want to see the world. Maybe, boy, I'd really like to travel. I want to see all the things, all the sights, and go all the places. Boy, that'd be great. That's what I want to do with my life. Or maybe you have some noble purpose in life. Maybe you say, I want to cure cancer, or I want to solve some intricate problem that has perplexed the world. Maybe some scientific problem or some mathematical problem. Maybe you want to help the nation. Maybe you want to be president. Try to help the nation get back on the right track or whatever it might be. But you have some goal of grave importance to the world. Well, you know, some of these things aren't bad. It's good to want to provide for your family. It's good to want to solve problems, economic problems, health problems. All these things, that's good. It's good that we have doctors that want to do that, that we have, you know, people that want to get into politics and help lead the country. And those things are all great if you can do those things, as long as you don't forget why God put you here. You see, all of us, you know, we have so many different jobs that we do. We have so many different goals in our life and in so many areas. But all of us need to have one goal in common. And that is to fear God and keep His commandments. If you can be rich, great, the Lord can use your money. If you can be famous, great, the Lord needs somebody that other people will look up to. The devil's got enough famous folks out there. The Lord needs some. That's great things that you can do if you'll stay true to Him and keep His word. If, on the other hand, that wealth or that fame draws you away from God, you've lost out. You've wound up reaching your purpose for your life and leaving God's purpose for your life. We all have a purpose given to us already. Now, there are lower purposes than that. Obviously, if we have a family, we want to raise that family up. We have to. God commanded us to raise up our children. But He commanded us to do it in a certain way, not just till they get grown, but to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What good does it do us if we get all our children grown, but then they turn out to be scoundrels and devils? We've caused more pain on the world than we could have caused good. So we've got to answer the question, each and every one of us within ourselves, am I here from my own standpoint to do what God put me here to do, or do I have some selfish ambition in this life? And then finally, our third question we want to look at is, why are you here? That's a good question, isn't it? And I don't mean here in this world alive. I mean here, this morning, right now, as we're together in this worship assembly, why are you here? Some might say, well, because it's Easter. I always go to church on Easter. Well, what about the other 51, or this year, 52 Sundays of the year? Or 53 Sundays this year, instead of 52. What about the rest of those Sundays? Maybe you're here because you say, well, I was curious about this church here, and I wanted to come and visit and see what they were all about. Good. You know, curiosity may have killed the cat. But when it comes to religion, being curious is a good thing as long as you're seeking the truth. So maybe you were curious and just thought you'd check it out today. And today was just as good a day as any. Well, hope you keep being curious. Hope you ask some questions to quench that curiosity. Maybe you just said, well, I know it's Easter Sunday. Everybody's going to be dressed up. I want to see what everybody else is wearing. I want to see who got new dresses, new suits, new hats. Some of the ladies, that maybe they came just to see what their secret sister gift was. About everybody, all these ladies out here got one today. I've seen a bunch of them out there today. You know, people come for various different reasons. Maybe you said, well, I didn't really want to come, but I wanted to bring my kids because, you know, kids need to go to Sunday school or they need to go to church. Maybe that's why you're here. Just because you want to bring your kids. You weren't interested in it for yourself. Didn't think you need it. You guys all figured out already. But those kids, you need to bring those kids. Well, that's good for the kids. You know, that goes back to what Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says. With every secret thing. You see, there are maybe two people sitting right next to each other on the pew. One of them's there sincerely worshiping God, and the other one's there, well, they're doing the same thing. They may both be singing. They may both be looking at their scriptures. They may both even be taking notes and reading their scriptures that we come to. But deep down in their heart, in their secret thoughts, they're looking at what so-and-so's doing or what so-and-so's wearing or thinking about what they're having for dinner this afternoon, or what TV show is going to be on, or who's going to come visit, or we know that's the way we are a lot of times. We're here physically, but we're not really here. Our mind is elsewhere. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. If we come in here and sit, and our mind is somewhere else, our heart is somewhere else, our soul is going to be somewhere else. Somewhere else we don't want to go. Maybe that's why you're here. Maybe you're here because you're scared of hell. Maybe you're scared to death of hell. You know? That's why you're here, because if I go to church, then I won't get sent to hell. And that's your whole reason for being here. Well, that's not why God wants you to be here. He doesn't want us to be here because we're afraid of hell. Now, he put hell there to be afraid of, but he wants us to be here for a higher purpose. He wants us to be here because we love him, because he first loved us. Maybe you're here to worship God. That's why we need to be here. The first day of the week, that's our purpose for coming together. We also admonish and encourage one another in the process. Maybe you're here because I have to be. God said I got to be here, so I got to be here. Again, God doesn't want you to be here because you feel like, well, I've got to be there. He wants you to be here because you love him, because you want to be here. Maybe you're here because it's the Lord's day. I give him this day, but tomorrow, And let me tell you, that's my day. Saturday, last night was my night, but I'm going to give him today. And we talk about that sometimes Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Well, we know good and well that the Lord's day doesn't end just because the day ends. Every day is His day. And we've got to be a part of it every day. So why are you in this building today? What reason is there for being here and not somewhere else doing something else? I hope there is a reason. I hope there's a reason that you're here today. I hope it's a sincere reason. I hope you did come. If you're visiting with us, I hope you came because you were curious, because you wondered, is that church different from the rest of them, or is it just like all the rest? Or maybe you already knew enough about it. You knew that church. That church is a little different. I like to go to that church. But why do you like to go to that church? Maybe you like to come to this church because you like the people. Well, that's good. We hope you like the people. But liking the people is just not really a good enough reason for picking a church. Now, you know, most preachers won't stand up there and tell you that. Okay, because they think that's what it's all about. You know, coming to church and, you know, maybe you want to sing in the choir. You want to be an usher. You want to do this. You want to do that. And that we'll find you a spot to be able to make you really high up in the church here. Well, regardless of whether we have some high position in the church or not, we need to choose the church based on whether it's teaching and practicing what the Lord taught us to practice. Jesus said, you must do the will of the Father in heaven. You've got to find out then, all those different churches out there that teach all those different things, some of them contradictory to one another. It is impossible for two things which are contradictory to both be the will of God. So we need to compare His Word. We don't have time to do that this morning. Our time's about up. But we need to compare this Word with the practices of the churches that are out there and with their teachings, all the churches. Curiosity is a good thing in religion. And we need to find which one is doing what the Bible says do. You see, Jesus promised in Matthew 16, in verse number 18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He promised to only build one church. I looked in our local phone book, and I know some churches don't have phones, but I just looked at 40-something different churches in our county, in our area. 40-something different churches. Jesus didn't build but one. Who are you supposed to build all the rest of them? If it wasn't Jesus, and Jesus and God always are one, they work together. So if they didn't build them, then somebody else did. We need to be thinking about, why are we here? Are we curious? Want to be curious? Good. Get those questions answered. Search the Scriptures daily to see if what you're being told is true, like those people in Berea. Find out. We know why we're here, to fear God and keep His commandments. Our duty then is to find out what those commandments are so we can keep them. But not just to go through the motions of doing the things that He said do, but to love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, to put our whole being into worshiping Him and serving Him, to love Him in that way. Only you can answer why you are here, or why you are here. I can tell you why God wants you to be here. But I can't tell you why you are here. That's one of those secret things that's within your heart. And that's the way you're going to have to come to grips with God, by answering those questions for yourself. Am I here just because I didn't have anything better to do? Am I here just to see if there's a fashion show going on? You know, God isn't concerned with who has the prettiest outfit on, or who can put on their makeup the best, or who can wear the finest jewelry. What He's concerned with is who's got the pure heart. Who's sincere and sincerely obeying Him. Being sincere in and of itself is not enough, but sincerely obeying Him. We can be sincerely wrong like the Apostle Paul was. Before he was converted to Christ, he was persecuting the church. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can't just call Lord, Lord. You've got to do the will of the Father. Jesus taught us what that will was, and the apostles backed him up. First, we've got to hear. Luke 8 and verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Luke 24 and verse 25, Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He told the Sadducees and the Pharisees to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have salvation, and they are they which testify of me. He said, all this time the prophets have been telling you I'm coming, and here I am. You better study those scriptures. They're all telling you about me. You better believe what the prophets said about him. And in Luke 13, 2 and 3, Jesus said, do you suppose those Galileans, these were some who were killed, said, do you suppose these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? And then he says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So not only do we have to hear and believe, we've got to repent. We can't keep living in our own sinful desires and think that God's going to be happy with us in that way. We've got to repent. But that's not the end of it either. Romans 14, 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. The only question is whether we're going to confess of our own free will or whether we're going to confess at the day of judgment because we have no choice. It's better to do it by your own free will now. Confess Jesus as the Christ. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. You better do it now, because then it'll be too late. But then in addition to that, Acts chapter 8 and verses 36 through 38, Philip is teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says that he taught him, he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what the religious world wants to hear, isn't it? Jesus. Well, let me tell you what happened after Philip preached Jesus to this man. Verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Wait a minute, who said anything about being baptized? I'm teaching you about Jesus. Well, apparently Philip said something about being baptized, and the Ethiopian eunuch would have not known of such a thing. And then Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Right then and there. Didn't wait until baptizing Sunday. Didn't say, hey, you're already saved in a couple months. Why don't you come back and we'll baptize you then? The eunuch asked, what's keeping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you can. And the eunuch said, I believe. And they stopped the chariot, and they baptized him right then and there. And the eunuch became a Christian that very hour. You can become a Christian in just that way, by hearing, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and then submitting to be baptized. But then that's not the end of it. Some think, well, I'm a Christian now, that's it. I'm just coasting my way to heaven. Heaven's uphill, not downhill. You can't coast up. You coast down, and we know what's down. Revelation 3:3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received, what thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. These were Christians that he was writing to. He said, you hold fast and you repent when you're doing wrong. We've got to keep holding fast. If we're Christians, we can't just say, well, I had it, and then let go. It's like a rope. You're climbing up a rope. If you let go, you're in big trouble, especially if you're very far from the ground. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond, either in initial obedience, or maybe you were just here for the wrong reason this morning and you need to repent of that and determine that you're going to be here for the right reason from now on, whether it be the right reason in your life as a whole or the right reason of assembly together. We got a good number here this morning. I just want to ask one question of many of you. I know some are visiting, some from out of town. We have some family members in town from out of town and some visitors. But I just want to ask some of the rest of y'all that are regular members of the congregation here. Where were y'all 2 weeks ago when we had 41? Oh, some were sick. Some may have been out of town. But some Just live here. Did you have something better to do than to come worship God? Did you have something better to do than to fear God and keep His commandments? Because if you did, you had the wrong reason. God's given us our reason. If you're hearing me to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.